You and I have been created to live our lives in this way. We've been created to work in team, that every single one of us, whatever your part might be, that you play it. And I want to tell you this morning, and this part, this next part is really important. So I want you to give me all of your attention just for a moment. There are certain miracles, certain breakthroughs, and even certain blessings that you will never be able to access on your own. There are certain places that you will never be able to go to without the help of one another. There are certain prayers that you will never see answered, because it's not only about your faith, it's about the faith of those around you. And we need to realize this morning that so much of the promises that we have in God, so many of the prophetic words, the inheritances, the rewards, so much of what we hope and dream for lies not only in my own ability to follow the Lord, but in my ability to find friends who will stand alongside me with faith. That your destiny and everything the Lord has for you is wrapped up in me. And my destiny and everything the Lord has for me is wrapped up in you. I want you to know this is not a weakness. This is not a design flaw. This is not a consequence of the fall in Eden. Adam, governing over the whole garden, naming every animal. God looked and said, "It looks like you need help." And from Genesis to Revelation is a story about you and I needing help, needing each other, co-laboring and partnering together in such a way that together we could achieve more than we ever can by ourselves. So you needing someone is not a weakness. You needing someone is the work of God at work in you. It's like in a sports team or in an army. We have different roles and different functions, but together we celebrate the victory. Together we take the territory. Together we become everything that God has called and created us to be. You will never be able to do it on your own, and I never will. And it's a blessing that the Lord has given us called being a body. The idea of independence and individuality being a strength and maturity, it is unbiblical. For you to think being independent is strong and being an individual is mature is unbiblical. It is not what the Bible teaches and tells us. Independence and individuality is a worldview and one of the greatest lies the enemy has been able to bleed into Christianity. That the more independent you are, the more individual you are, the better you are, the more unique you are. No. Independence every single time, individuality every single time will lead to a place called isolation. And isolation leads to a place called desolation. I've seen so many people waiting for unanswered prayers, waiting for breakthrough, waiting for their miracle, but like the paralytic man, they can never get there on their own. And so maybe the breakthrough that you're waiting for, maybe the miracle you're looking for, maybe the prayer you're trusting God for, you are not able to reach it on your own because you weren't created to do that. Maybe as you partner with the person to your left or to your right, maybe as you find family, that our collective faith will be able to carry us to places we could never go on our own. So you might be here this morning and still wondering and still asking, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? Why haven't I received breakthrough? Where is my miracle, God? Why am I going around the same mountain over and over again? Why do I never seem to move forward? Why am I stuck? And maybe the question you should be asking is, where are my friends? Where are the ones alongside me to help me, to carry me, to have faith with me? The truth is that it's so often pride that keeps us independent and isolated and prevents us from moving forward. And once again, it looks like a strength in the world's eyes, but it's not in God's eyes. I don't need help. I can do it on my own. It's just me and God. It's my preferences and the way I like it. This is how God made me. I don't like being in a box. I've heard every excuse under the sun. And obviously, it's difficult to look at that and think that's pride, because pride in Christianity is a big no-no. We know that the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud. So when you are prideful, it literally means God's fighting against you. So we know pride is a very forbidden thing and not a popular thing. So it's difficult for us to sometimes admit that we have pride in our lives. But maybe you're here and the reason you're independent, the reason you're isolated, the reason you're operating as an individual is because I don't want to be a burden to anyone else. I'm just different. It's just my personality. I have a unique relationship with God. And so sometimes we take pride and we wrap it in a pretty bow. And we call it my preferences or my individuality. And I'm sorry if this is offending or triggering anyone. I really do apologize. But I would hate for you to stand before the Lord one day thinking that you built according to your personality, thinking that you lived according to your preference, and God says, I just see pride. Because really, it's not about you and what you want. It's not about your personality. It's about what God wants and the person of Jesus. And sometimes your personality and who you are is the thing that prevents you from becoming more like Jesus more than anything else. So before you celebrate how unique, how creative, how out the box, how individual you are, before you celebrate those things, consider, am I independent? Am I isolated? Am I living as an individual? Because you might be carrying around pride, thinking it's a prize. And I want to encourage you just to take a moment for a second. Think of anyone you know who is stuck in their life or who has been stuck for a while. Think of someone you know, it might be a relative, it might be a friend, it might be the person sitting next to you, who just seems to be going around the same mountain over and over again. The same battles, the same issues, the same situations over and over again. And now ask yourself, they haven't got breakthrough, they haven't moved forward, they haven't really changed. Now consider that person and ask yourself, are they independent? When I think about them and the things we've just described, are they independent? Are they an individual? And are they isolated? Consider that. And my encouragement would be, maybe you can connect those two dots this morning. Or do those people really genuinely have friends and family speaking into their lives? Do they have people helping them move forward? Are they standing alongside friends with faith, allowing people to correct and encourage, to even rebuke? And I want to encourage you, more often than not, the person that you see is stuck is because they're doing it by themselves. I would go so far as to say, being in ministry for many years now, 99 times out of 100, and I'm saying 99 and not 100 because I want to leave room for the exception. People that are stuck, people that keep going around the mountain, people that keep facing the same issues, is because they are independent and isolated. Almost every single time. So if you want breakthrough in your life, if you want change, if you want transformation, yes, it is you and God, but God's plan is us. And maybe take a moment now just to think of your own life. I wonder, I get distracted easily. So I'm wondering if just closing our eyes for a second. And I really, right from the front row to the back row, right from the elders to the visitors, think of your own life. Is your default to try and get it done on your own? Is your default to not want to be a burden to others? Is your default to soldier and push through? Is your life built towards your preferences? I'll make that simple. I like certain songs and not other songs. I like to worship a certain way and not this way. I like certain preachers and not others. Anywhere in your life where your preferences are leading you is a place where there's independence and isolation. Are there areas where others are helping to carry and partner with you in their faith? Are there areas where you are relying on someone else? If not, then you might be more independent than you think. And now on the flip side of this is, are you helping others? Are you like the four friends where you are carrying and helping others? Just give that a thought for a second. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would speak to our hearts. Where are the areas in our lives where independence has dressed itself up to make it look like it's not independence? Could you just bring that to the surface right now? In your marriages, are you independent? In your decisions of your life, are you independent? In the choices you make, do you just do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, how you want to do it, and then blame the Lord for it or give Him credit, whichever one you choose? Independence won't only keep you from getting help like the paralytic man. But you know what independence does also? It prevents you from helping others. And I want you to see that. Being independent, not being a part of a team, not being a part of the family of God, not only will it prevent you from getting help, but it'll also prevent you from helping others. Not only will it prevent you from moving forward, but it'll prevent you from having fruit in your life. This is the picture of teamwork. This is the picture of community and fellowship. This is the picture of how you and I should be living together. Paul writes this in Galatians 6 verse 2, and he says this: carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So picture these four men carrying their friend. This is the picture of the law of Christ being fulfilled. This is a picture of the will of God for our lives. Where your financial burden should be my financial burden. Where your relational pain should be my relational pain. Where I'm carrying your burden and you are carrying my burden. And the Lord has put us together so beautifully that we have different strengths and different abilities, and we find ourselves in different seasons. There's seasons where Ian is so strong in one area and I need Ian to help me. And there are times when Ian might be feeling tired and weak and Ian needs me to help him. And together we become the body of Christ. Together we become the team the Lord has called and created us to be. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. He says this: so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. I need your encouragement. I need you to build me up. And you need my encouragement and you need me to build you up. You can only be built up so far on your own. But together we are able to build each other up in ways that individually we could never do it. And that building up means to become mature in Christ, but also to become mature in the fruit and the work of our lives. I will help you walk in a fullness and a fruitfulness you would never be able to do on your own. And I promise you this, you will do the same for me. Paul writes this in Philippians 2 verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ. The NLT says this in a different translation. It says, don't look only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So Paul writes here and says, don't look out for your own interests. Look out for the interests of others. And he goes on in the same verse and says, you must have the same attitude, the same heart, the same mind as Jesus. So Jesus' heart and attitude and mind is to place your interests, your needs above his own. And we need to do this for one another. And that's what being Christ-like looks like. Where your burden becomes more important to me than my own. King Solomon, one of the wisest men that has ever lived, writes this in Ecclesiastes, and he says this: two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. And I don't know about you, but I've fallen enough times in my life knowing I need help. But people who are alone, when they fall, they are in real trouble. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. And this is actually a picture of what the enemy does for us. The Bible says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, actively seeking people to devour. And for all of us living in South Africa and understanding how a lion operates, when a lion sees a herd, the first thing he does is try and isolate one from the herd. So it says here, a person standing alone, when you get separated from the body, when you get separated from the flock, when you get separated from the family of God, you can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There is a constant theme from Genesis through to Revelation about you and I working together to become everything God has called us to be. It's so important this morning that we see this, and I'm wanting almost to arrest certain parts in our hearts and our minds that want to be independent, that want to do things on our own, because the world is trying to lure us into that, because the world and the enemy knows if they can isolate us under the banner of independence and call it a strength, that we are so susceptible and vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Does this make sense? We weren't created to be just you and Jesus. We take that so far. We weren't created for it's just me and Jesus and everything's going to be okay. I want you to look at your life. If that is you and if you believe that, look at your life. Show me your fruit. Look at your life. Show me your walk. Do you know why I can say that? Because no one believed that on earth more than I did. I thought being independent was the greatest thing any young man could accomplish. And I went to the top of the Independence Hill and I built a throne and I sat there proudly all the while serving God, madly in love with Jesus. I just didn't know any better. I got to the top of that hill, and only when I was there and I looked back, I realized with all my independent thought, with all my independent opinions, with all my independent ideas of how a church should be, how things should go, I sat to the top of my hill and I thought, where's the fruit? If I'm so right, if my opinions are so good, where's the fruit? And I know there's certain individuals here this morning that have walked with the Lord for years, that have been in church for years. But you've been sitting on your hill and your throne called independence. And I want to ask you this morning, in the most gentle way I can, where's your fruit? Just for a second. I'm not asking where your memories and where your experiences, because the Bible doesn't say one day I'll stand before the Lord and I'll recite all my, but God, there was this cool experience and then there was this cool encounter and then, where's the fruit? And what's the fruit? It's not leading people to the Lord. That's one thing. Go into the nations and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey. Where are your disciples? Where are the people you've led? Have they passed you? So I just want to press pause there for a moment. It's not about you and Jesus. That's one element about it. And if you're getting you and Jesus right, you'll see that Jesus' heart isn't just you and Jesus. Jesus' heart is this. So if you and Jesus is leading you into an independence and isolation, it's not, that's not really you and Jesus. Jesus might not be there. Because Jesus' heart is always us together as one. Paul the Apostle writes and says this in Romans 12, verse 2 to 3. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, independence, but let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. And what I'm wanting to do this morning is change the way we think. I had a conversation with one of my dearest friends on earth the other day, and he said, Luke, I feel like I'm battling with something, but I don't know what it is. And I said, just turn around and look over your shoulder and maybe follow some of the breadcrumbs. If you're here this morning and you've been under many leaders and none of the leaders have been able to bring you through or get breakthrough in your life, is it all the leaders? Or is there a common denominator? So maybe just follow the breadcrumbs this morning and allow the Lord to rest certain parts in your heart. Otherwise, a year from now, we're going to be back around the same mountain having the same conversation. So Paul writes here and says, I want to change the way you think. I want to transform you into a new person, but we have to change the way we think. And he says, then you will know, once you've changed the way you think, you will know what God wants you to do, and you'll know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. As God's messenger, listen to this, this is strong. So He's now told you, I want to transform you as a person, but I have to change the way you think. And once you change the way you think, you'll find God's will. In the very next verse, he says this, I'm God's messenger. So now he's starting to tell you, I'm not messing around. I'm not coming to you as Paul, your mate. I'm coming to you as Paul, the apostle, with the authority of God. As God's messenger, I give each of you a warning. Strong language. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given. Press pause, I don't go further. How much faith God has given you. And that's what we're doing this morning. I feel a warning from the Lord. Be honest in how much you think of yourself. You might think you're more mature than you are. You might think I've been doing this for a while, therefore I'm a bit further down the road than I am. So I want to read that again. Paul writes, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will. God's, what's your will for my life? What's your plan for my life? Well, we're going to learn it now. Because if we change the way we think, allow God to change us as a person, we're going to learn what the will of God is. It's coming. He goes on to say, but be careful in not thinking more highly of yourself than you should. Don't think you're more wise, more mature. Don't think you're more unique. You're more of an individual. Don't think this doesn't apply to you. This applies to you. And in the very, he says, be honest with yourselves. And then the very next verse, he says this. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of His one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. So think about this language. Paul says to you and I want you to be transformed and changed into a new person. But it requires you changing the way you think. And if you change the way you think, then you and I will begin to walk in God's perfect will for our lives. Then he warns us and says, before I tell you what it is, be careful not to assume you know it. Be careful not to assume you're already walking in it. And then he tells us what it is. What is God's perfect will in our lives? What do we need to be transformed in our thinking towards? Well, it's this. That we are many parts of one body. That's God's perfect will for your life. Not for you to have an elevated opinion and some abstract theology and some celebrating some individuality. No. Paul warns against that and says, don't think like the world thinks. You are a part of a body. And that is what you and I have been called and created to do. We are many parts of one body, and it says we all belong to one another. Don't think you can make it on your own. Paul warns against that. Not only are you doing yourself damage, but if I'm honest with you, you're doing the body damage too. Paul writes and says that we are the body of Christ. And if I stood here before you and my arm was cut off, the arm would be in danger, but so is the body. Your withholding, your withdrawing, your independence, your individuality is not only costing you, it's costing the body too. Now the challenge is if my arm was disconnected from my body and my arm was lying here, you could still see it's an arm. And for many of us, we live in disconnection, isolation, still knowing what our part to play is. So we still know, I'm still this or I'm still that, but not connected to the body. Not only will you produce no fruit, but there's a far worse consequence than that, and it's called death. Being disconnected from the body will not only cost you fruit, it'll cost the body fruit. Being disconnected from the body will not only cause you harm, it'll cause the body harm. Being disconnected from the body, you might look like you have life. You might look like you have it all together. You might look like you're functioning well. But according to the word of God and the warning of the apostle Paul, you are headed to a place called death and destruction. How long would that arm last, being disconnected from the source of life, the body of Christ? So the first indication that maybe for you and I this morning that we're operating in isolation and independence is simply saying, where is the fruit in my life? Because the Bible tells us that if we stay connected to the vine and the vine is in us, that we will produce much fruit. Fruit is a function of connection. And so if you are not having fruit in your life, you might not be as connected to the body as you think you are. When you are disconnected, when you are independent, not only will your life not be fruitful, but you're causing the body of Christ to be less fruitful too. You might be here this morning and life is tough. And you feel like I've lost my zeal, I've lost my passion. I've lost my first love, how I once loved God. I've lost that zeal, I've lost that burning. How do I burn for God again? How do I have that zeal and that passion for God again? How do I experience that life and life abundantly when I first came to know God? Maybe your problem this morning is not passion. Maybe it's connection. Maybe you're disconnected from the body, from the source, from Jesus. The last passage I want to read this morning, and I'm going to take a little while just to slowly unpack it for us. And then I'm wanting us to hopefully respond at the end, whatever your response might be. But I want to posture our hearts this morning where Paul warns us. And I feel like there's a response that is required of us this morning. And the last passage of Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says this, Paul writing again, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Go back for a second, just press pause there. And this is a picture of you and I. You might be here this morning and saying, but I can't preach. I can't lead worship. I can't lead a meeting. And what steals our confidence and steals our connection in the body more than anything else is comparing to one another. If God has created you to be a hand in the house, then be a hand. If God has created you to be a foot in the house, then be a foot. If God's created you to be an eye in the house, then be an eye. Paul warns us, and he says this in the very next verse. Suppose the whole body were an eye. How would you hear? Imagine if everyone preached. Imagine if everyone led. I would never want to imagine if everyone led worship, what that would sound like. But if we were all doing the same, trying to do the same thing and trying to be the same person, Paul says we would be like one big ear. We wouldn't be able to smell anything. We wouldn't be able to do anything else. The next verse, he goes on and says this. But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. I want you to know this morning, you are where God wants you to be. In this congregation, in this body, that the role he's asked you to play in this season, it might change going forward. But we know that the Bible says that when you're faithful with little, when you're faithful with what you've been given, God will give you more. So whatever you're doing now, if it's AV, if it's a keyboard, if it's sitting at the back and just participating in worship, wherever you are at, play your part. I can guarantee you those four men that broke open the roof and lowered Jesus through the roof never thought 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, they'll still be speaking about us. They probably thought, yeah, we're going to get in trouble for breaking this roof. They had no idea. And so your part that you're playing now, it might be simply sitting and taking notes. It might just be coming to church. Wherever you are at right now, play your part and don't underestimate what God can do with your faith and your faithfulness. If the whole body, he says the whole body, many parts, and he's put each part where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Leave it there for a second. I want you to read that. Who here sometimes feels the weakest and the least? Just be honest. Just put your hand up for a second. Some of you got great confidence. I sometimes feel that. Some of the parts that seem the weakest, that seem the least, are really the most necessary and the most important. Deshan sitting back there holding his baby, raising up their child in the ways of the Lord, far more significant than what I'm doing right now. Don't underestimate what the Lord has given you and the part you're playing. It might seem the weakest and the least to you, but God says it's the most important and the most necessary. The next verse says this. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect them from the eyes of others, those parts that should not be seen. While other parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts, just leave it there, that have less dignity. If we look at someone standing and then look at the body, it's often the eyes that we feel are the most glamorous, or the smile that we feel is the most beautiful. It's the face and the muscles and the body that we look at and we think, oh, those are the most important part. But I tell you this, you can live without an eye. You can live without an ear. It's the parts that actually are less glamorous, that are hidden. The parts that no one sees that are the most important. And so it is here. You might be sitting on AV, you might be in kids' church, and you think this isn't very glamorous. To God, it's the most glamorous and the most important. The hidden parts of the body, the parts that no one necessarily sees or acknowledges, those are the most important parts. So you might be here and thinking, I came up with a little creative message on the coffee board. I wonder if anyone's going to care. God does. God does. It's not the grand things he's looking for. It's the hidden things that he celebrates. The next verse says this. We've got that word again. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other equally. When you play your part, whatever it might be, and it's not above the leaders up front. My part might be this, but when I get home, helping feed the kids, helping clean up after the dogs in the garden, that's also my part. Helping do the things that no one sees is also my part. So when we do this, when you play your part and I play my part, and it's not competing or comparing, but it's celebrating one another, we get this word again called harmony. 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 If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. This is what you and I are called to be. Sometimes ambition can cause us to be more than we want to be. Sometimes independence can pull us away from the things we need to be and should be. But if we are one body, your role, your function might be a hidden part that no one even sees, but it's the most precious and valuable. Your part might be a part where it's more visible, and the Lord says that there's actually less honor to that part. But the point is this: you and I were never created to do it on our own, to live in independence. You and I were created to be put together, to become the body of Christ. And outside of that, not only will we not function, but we will have no fruit. And I felt just to ask us one or two questions. Has preference of how you think church should be, and that is as dangerous for a visitor, but even more dangerous for a leader. Because I have the ability to move according to my preferences. I can change this meeting according to my preferences. So as a leader, and this is a caution to our leaders, be careful of what you think should be done and how you think it should be done. We're here to follow Jesus, not any man or any person. To find the person of Jesus. Have your preferences pulled you away from the body? Have offenses pulled you away from the body? Hurts, disappointments, being hurt in previous churches or being hurt in this church, has it resulted in you being disconnected from what the Lord has called you to? Has criticism or comparison caused you to be pulled away from the body? If you're older, do you look at the youngsters and go, why are they given opportunities and not the older folk? If you're young, do you compare with your brothers and try and outdo one another? Has comparison and competing with one another caused you to disconnect from the body and to take a step back? Has criticism, where you've got a critical spirit, you always know the answer, you always know what's right, and the challenge is, for our slightly younger in years, you always think you're right and seldomly are you. I lived there once. And the final thing that I want to ask of us this morning is this. Has insecurity or inadequacy pulled you away from being a part of the body? I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I've got anything to add. I'm too broken. I'm too lost. Maybe for some of us this morning, I've been doing this for such a long time, I don't know how to break the cycle of going around this mountain. C.S. Lewis says this. This is beautiful. The New Testament knows nothing of solitary religion. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest writers and an incredible man of God, says that if you read from Matthew to Revelation, if you read the New Testament, it knows nothing of solitary religion. Nowhere in the New Testament does it know anything or encourage anything of independence, individuality, and isolation. So my question to each and every one of us this morning is, are you connected to the body? And in that, there's submission, there's authority. My hand doesn't do anything that it wants to do. My brain tells it what to do. Are you submitted to authority in this house? Not to God. That's a given. We're submitted to God, absolutely, but are you submitted to the authority God has placed you under? Because if you're not, you're not going to function. Submission unto God is the first and foremost step for all of us, but that results in us submitting to the leaders God has placed over us. Are you in authority, under authority and in accountability? Are you playing your part in the body? And maybe for some of us this morning, there is more for you. There is more for you.